This morning's lesson, how do we hit the mark as a Christian? I mean, I'm like this demonstration up here. Every time I try to do the right thing, I seem like I missed it all, hit the ground, missed it all by so much. How as Christians are we expected, or can we, hit the mark? You know, even Scripture tells us that we're all going to fall short of the glory of God. We're all going to sin and fall short. So if we're already told we're going to fall short, how are we going to do it? So what I want to talk to you this morning is about that whole thought. Hopefully by the end of this lesson, you'll be encouraged. And hopefully you'll have a better understanding about God's grace and how all that works together, how we strive as Christians. You know, the problem that we have is a sin problem. A sin against God. Every one of us in this room has this problem. There's nobody left out of this problem. We're separated from God from our sins. And we need to realize that's the first problem we have. That we have a sin problem and it separates us from God. As it is in Romans 3, verse 10, which we'll talk about here just a little bit more, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So how do we do it? How do we hit the mark as Christians? How do we please God in that way? In Romans chapter 3, the Jewish people had this very problem. In Romans chapter 3, verse 1, what advantage then is there being a Jew? Or what value is in being circumcised? There's much that there way. First of all, the Jews have been entrusted with the Word of God. They were the ones presented the Word of God. Where are we at? As Christians, we have the same gift. We've been entrusted with this Word. Because if we don't get it out there, who's going to do it? So we're in the same boat as the Jewish people. They were thinking, hey, I'm the chosen people of God. Compared to Gentiles? They were trying to put themselves in a different boat, in a different situation. That they were God's chosen people. As Christians, do we feel the same way? Do we at times put ourselves separate from the world so far apart that we think we are different than they are? The world's got a sin problem, correct? Don't we have a sin problem? Don't we have the same problem they have? That's what we need to realize, and that's what he was trying to explain to in Romans chapter 3. Therefore, no one being declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. Rather, through the law, they become conscious of their sins. You know, God's Word reveals us our shortcomings and our faults. Let us know that it's not what we do or what our abilities are. And let us know that we are sinful people just like everybody else. That we can't say we're any better. For maintaining that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of the Jews only? Is he not the God of the Gentiles too? Yes, of the Gentiles too. Since he's there's only one God, who will justify the circumcised by their faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith? Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. He was telling them and reminding them the promise that was made to Abraham. Through Abraham, all nations would be blessed. Through Abraham, not by Abraham. He was reminding us that the words given to the Jews, it was given through them, not by them. They are no better than the Gentiles, and the Gentiles are in the same boat. That's what we need to realize this morning. that we're sinful people. The world may be out there sinful, but so are we. We're just blessed to have the Word and the truth to realize it, to understand it. That's why we have the Word. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in His mercy, in whose mercies? God's mercies. Rich in His mercy, He has made us alive with Christ even when we were yet dead in transgressions. It is by the grace that we have been saved. It's by the grace of God that we've been saved. Through what He did through His Son is what Jerry was talking about earlier this morning. That without that, we would be lost. So basically this morning, what we first and foremost need to realize and what we need to do is get over ourselves. We need to get over ourselves and try to put ourselves in a different pedestal than everybody else. Because if we're going to make a difference out there, they need to realize that we're the same. That we just have the answer because of God. That we have the answer that they need to be saved. The way they need to go. It's not by us. It's by God. And that we're sinners just like they are. Turn over to Luke chapter 18. Now I want to read out of the parable that Jesus talked about the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness. Do you hear that? To the some who were confident of their own righteousness and looking down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. And this is the way the parable started out. Two men went to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. First of all, you know, all those Pharisees that were standing around Jesus saying, oh, we got this one. A Pharisee against a tax collector? That's a piece of cake. They said, yeah, we're going to win this parable. But let's read on. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like the other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give my 10% to all that I get. Now, on the outside, this Pharisee looked like he's doing all the right works that we just talked about in Rome. He fasts every twice a week. He gives his 10%. He shows up to church. He shows up to the temple, does his prayer. On the outside, he looks just like he should. We would probably go, yes, I want to be like him. Just like we were talking about this morning. I want to be like that Christian. But let's read on. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat on his chest, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And what does he say in verse 14? I tell you that this man, rather than the other man, went home justified before God. For anyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Amen. First of all, we got to realize where we stand with God. We got to realize that the gift that we have is not ours, that it was given from God, that we are no better than anybody else out there in the world. We are sinners just like them. And what better way to approach them out there when you say, I've fallen short just like you're falling short. I'm struggling just like you're struggling. They need to hear that we're not a bunch of hypocrites, that we are just like they are, that it's by the mercy of God that we are saved. We got to understand God's grace, how it works. First of all, we need to know we're under construction. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be anything until that day of judgment, when we get to heaven. That's the only time that we'll be perfect. Down the street from in there building the middle school, and every day I can see new improvement. And I'm sure they're having difficulties and have to redo stuff and having finding this wrong or this breaks, and there ain't no construction that goes perfectly.
We are the same way. We are under construction, and we'll continue to have struggles till the day we get to heaven. It's because of God's grace working through us, not by us, that we get through this life.
We need to understand this. Our works don't change God's grace. God's grace changes our works. Once we realize and understand how that works, we understand that God's grace changes us and makes us different. God's grace created the salvation. Christ dying on that cross bridged that gap that we can't bridge. He broke it, the chain that Satan had on us, by dying on that cross, by shedding that blood for each and every one of us. If it wasn't for Christ dying on the cross, we would never get to the other side. We'd never have that relationship with God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So how do we hit the mark? So let's talk about that for a little bit. How do we hit the mark? We follow His commandments. We follow His will. Not our will, but His will. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. We want to say we know God, we got to follow His truth. And if we don't follow His truth, God's not in us. We don't have that relationship. The devil wants you to believe this. It's all about, all you got to do is horseshoes and hand grenades. All you got to do is be close. You ain't got to try hard. You got to show up Sunday every once in a while. You got to put a little contribution in there every once in a while. I got to be a good person. I just got to try a little. That's not how it works. Satan doesn't want you at your fullest abilities, potential. He doesn't want it. He just try a little bit. That's all he wants you to do. He doesn't want you to work hard at it. He don't want you to strive for it. Striving is hitting the mark. We got to strive as Christians. This is me. You know, you ever play cornhole? I don't know how many of you play cornhole, but the whole idea is to get in that little hole. And every time you play, and I played a lot, every time I strive to hit that right in that hole. Sometimes I hit it on the board, sometimes I miss the board. Sometimes I'm really this close and somebody comes and knocks me out of the way. Isn't that life? But I'm trying, I'm striving to get it in that hole. And sometimes I hit the mark. God's grace is when you hit the board and it doesn't go in the hole, His grace pushes it right on through. That's what makes the difference. It's our attitude. It's the way we live, our everyday life. Whoop. Back up. Jesus proves His love for us already. It's about time we prove our love for Him in our everyday life. Not just showing up to church here and there. And not just letting the worries of the world hold us back. Because it didn't hold Him back. Jesus didn't hold nothing back. God didn't hold nothing back. He gave His only Son. We need to realize that He's paid the price for us. How do we do it? This is what it comes down to. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Some will say all your mind. Let me tell you about this part right here. When you give it your all, you're trying to hit that hole and hit that mark, just like that cornhole, drop it in there. You're trying with everything that you have in you. That's the love that we have towards God. Because just think about it. The heart stops, you're dead. Your brain stops, you're dead. If your body don't have a soul, you're dead. So think about what Satan's got to do. All he's got to do is mess with your mind a little bit. Get you with bad thoughts. Your brain not working, your soul's dead. All he's got to give you is a love for money, a love for something else other than coming to church or doing God's will. All he's got to do is put a little bit of love of something else in there, then you're dead. Satan just got to affect one part of all of this, and your soul is dead. That's why you got to love it with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and might. It takes everything that you have in you. It's the striving part, the daily walk, carrying the cross, the daily walk, not just the Sunday walk, not just the when it feels right walk or it's easy walk, but it's when it's hard walk. Because let me tell you something. God's love endures. It endures forever. So the shortcoming that comes in all of this is in us. It's not on God's end because His love endures always, forever. When we have a shortfall, a mistake, it's ours that messes that relationship with God. Not His. His love always endures, forever. You have pain and struggles on the outside of the world. It's related to men. You can go all the way back to Adam and Eve when they bit the forbidden fruit. They had it made. They were in paradise. It was their sin that created the situation that we're in. It's our sin that creates our situation. When we realize that we sin and we struggle, that our Lord loves us, it puts it in perspective. Remember this. But God showed His love for us in that while we were yet sinners, He died for us. He went after us. He strived towards us while we were still sinners. He didn't wait till we got it right. He didn't wait till we started trying. He didn't wait till we got baptized. He started striving towards us from the day one. So we need to strive towards Him with our daily living. We need to strive daily to go after Him, just like He came after us while we were yet sinners. How do we hit the mark as Christians? It's the way we live. You know, 1 John 1, verse 7, we had it up, read a couple times in the last few weeks. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies from us from what sins? All sins. Let me go back and read all of it. Starting with verse 5, I want to go back to read verse 5. This is the message I have heard from Him and declare to you. God is the light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. And He does not live, and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk by the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And His blood of Jesus the Son purifies what sins? All sins. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word has no place in our life. So if we try to say we are without sin, we make God to be a liar. But the wonderful thing about that, which we just read, the wonderful thing about that is God, Christ's blood washes our sins out away. Each and every time. So each and every one of us are in the same boat. You may have struggled with sin over here going down this road, as you, your favorite dessert that Satan knows what we like. We may have, oh man, this is the sin I like. But the sin I like is over here. but we're all struggling with sin. So I can go over here and encourage you, say, hey, I'm here for you. And you can come over here and encourage me, because we're in the same boat. We're in the same situation. We're in the same struggles. It may be a different sin, but we're all sinful people. And once we realize that we're sinful people, we have a different approach to things. It's not our ability, but God's ability. We realize what the mercy of God does for us. If we strive to do what's right, He hits the mark for us. He's the one that makes the mark. If we strive to follow Christ in our everyday life, you hear that part? In our everyday life, that He'll help us hit the mark. He'll make us hit the mark every time. And that's how we get them in here. We're no better than they are because we're in a sinful state. We ain't going to be perfect till the day of judgment when God says, good and faithful servant. That's the day. Our job right now is to follow His will, and His will is for us to go out there and make a difference in the world. Bring them here to realize that, hey, we're in the same boat, and we can get to the same place together, and we're going to have the same struggles, and we're going to go through the same temptations, because we are all sinners. It's by God's grace that we're saved. If you're not a Christian this morning, you can't be washed. Continue to be washed by the blood if you ain't been washed at the very beginning. So you got to be baptized. You got to be baptized so Christ can continue to wash you of those sins over and over again. Once again, it's following His will and not our will. If you're struggling with anything this morning, you got to understand, first and foremost, we're all tax collectors. We're all tax collectors. We're all struggling with sin. May not be the exact same sin, but we all have struggled with sin. It's by God's grace and mercy that we're going to get there one day. That's why He built the church. We're here for one another to help each other through. The leadership that we have here at Edge Hill is one of the best I've ever seen. They're the most humble individuals. They understand this concept that we are all sinners. Nobody's going to look down at you no matter where you're at in life because we're all there. We all need help in all struggles. And when we go out there to make a difference, they need to understand that too, that I'm in the same boat they are. I've just found the truth. I'm conscious of my sins now. I realize that I'm a sinner now. And I realize that I can't do it on my own, that I need Jesus, that I need the Heavenly Father. I need the Holy Spirit. It's because of Him that I'm saved. He bridges the gap between sin and death in a relationship with God. So if you're struggling with anything, we can help you through it. All you got to do is confess your sins to God and He's going to forgive you. You don't even have to come up here. You can do that now if you're a Christian. But if you want the prayers of the church, because the prayer of one righteous man availeth much. And I'm telling you, we have some good people in this church. Our elders are awesome. So if there's anything we can do, why don't you come now as we stand and sing.